Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into B-Town's continuing coverage of the impact of COVID-19 here in Rhode Island. I'm Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, a conversation with state senatorial candidate Jennifer Roark. Last night, Jen posted a tweet video in which she described some racists who logged on and attacked her with extremely hateful speech during a town hall that she was hosting. Super disturbing, super disgusting, and I wanted to give her a chance to further express not only the impact that that incident has had on her, but just her general perspective. Folks, right here in Rhode Island, this type of behavior goes on a regular basis, and it's time to bring it to an immediate halt, and it's the responsibility of all of us to do so. So without further ado, I just want to get to this conversation right now with the mighty Jen Roark. I saw your tweet last night, and I mean, what's going on here in this world, right? What's going on here, you know?
So much. I will say that there's a lot. There's a lot that's happening that shouldn't be happening, but so much happening.
Yeah. Pardon me. You know, one of the things that for some reason I'm getting it played back. The shocking thing to me that is sort of consistent is the fact that so many people are in denial, whether it's in Rhode Island or outside of Rhode Island, but particularly here, they're in denial about the prevalence of blatantly racist, blatantly sexist, ignorant viewpoints, and the fact that people are willing to express those viewpoints in hateful ways on a fairly regular basis. If nothing else, this should be a classic term, a teaching moment for those folks out there that are in denial about this. What's sort of your take about turning your experience here? And if you want to recap what you went through in any way, of course, feel free to do so. But using this as a moment to highlight the realities of the world that we live in, I guess.
I think people here don't truly believe that it's happening here, that it's happening in their own backyards. They see what's happening in Minneapolis in regards to George Floyd. They see what has happened in New York and Central Park with Christian Cooper, in Georgia with Ahmaud Arbery, and it's not real because it's not their own backyards. But for someone like me who lives this every day, I know it's there. I see it. I deal with it. It's been my life, from not just a town hall, but to new neighbors moving down the street and putting up, the first thing they put up was a Confederate flag. And that's a path that my children and I take to walk, and to have to see that is just a constant reminder that there are people out there that don't like me because of the way that I look. And it's sad. And in Rhode Island, we feel like we're such a democratic state. And it doesn't happen here. And, you know, not in Rhode Island. We're such great people, but there are so many pockets of hateful, racist people. And we don't really see it until incidents happen. And for me, this entire moment was about venting. You know, I was having a town hall. I was on a Zoom call with two awesome candidates, with Jeanine Calkin and Nick Domenico, and it was just supposed to be a town hall. And to see those words directed at me, it hurts. And I said that it hurts. I don't know what more I can do to explain to people that this is happening. Like, this is really happening in Rhode Island, this is going on. There's a ton of racists. There's just racism is running rampant, and we can't be in denial anymore.
Yeah. There's no question, you know, and I don't understand. I truly don't understand. I'm at a loss for perspective when it comes to folks that aren't willing to factor racism, its prevalence, its the institutional situations that allow for it to continue, that are manifested in situations of police brutality, that are manifested in situations of massive inequity in the results of COVID-19, that are manifested in the results of educational outcomes, that are manifested in the results of the people who speak on behalf of other communities. I mean, the list goes on. And those are policy type conversations. What you experienced is just that baseline hate. It's like the kid in gym class who would throw a dodgeball in someone's mm-hmm. face. It's that same level of just basic hatred. And why don't people want to face this? What do you think it is? Why don't people want to face it? And why isn't the entire state right now, everybody in media, everybody in a political position, everybody who has any kind of pulpit or anyone who doesn't, why aren't people addressing this right today, this morning, and saying, wake up, check this out? You know, what is going on here?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I know this is something that people like me, we speak about it. We talk about this every day. And I think it's because our leadership, or our leaders, I should say, they don't have to feel this. They don't get hit with the attacks based on their race. For me, it's, if you want to attack me on my policy. Taking something to that level is something completely different. That is, it's uncalled for. I have noticed there have been a few representatives that have reached out. I know Rep. Marcia in Providence, she had her own incident and she reached out to me. And I know there's very few people who have had situations, but most of the people in office don't live the way that I live. Right. Like, they don't have to understand that my skin color determines how I'm treated. I don't have that privilege. They have the privilege, so they don't have to deal with it. So people, when they attack them on their policy. Why can't they do the same for someone like me?
Right. And this idea that somehow, like, the conversation about privilege or anything like that is part of the liberal conservative spectrum, you know, that it's somehow, you know, and look, Donald Trump has a lot to do with this. There's no question about it, but it goes way beyond, you know, political figureheads. This is deeply rooted nonsense that there are folks who, going back to the COVID-19 situation, who, having grown up in the southern part of the state, I see some of these kids posting on my Facebook wall that they just have no clue about what's going on 40, not even 40 minutes off the street. These are the same folks who, you know, when you'd go play Central Falls in a soccer game, you know, there'd be all kinds of remarks and the gym teacher would be saying, oh, watch your stuff. Everybody leave your stuff on the bus. You know, this moronic ignorance is pervasive. And I guess that's the thing that strikes me as you were subjected to something as a public person. And by the way, your statement that running for office as a black woman is the hardest thing you've ever done. I mean, that was like a punch in the gut and then a twist of the knife as I'm watching that, because your courage and what you stand for fundamentally is so inspiring to me. But the fact that we don't have a full court press to erase this sort of thinking in any sort of institution, churches, you know, or other houses of worship, you know, music and sports and whatever it may be, politics, media, you name it. I mean, we need to get to a point where this is so outrageous and shameful a way of thinking that nobody in their right mind would touch it, but we're not even close.
Yeah. The biggest issue is we need to have the conversation. We need to have that uncomfortable conversation that nobody wants to have. It needs to be had. I am the person, I hate when people say, I don't see color. Oh, I'm colorblind. I don't see color.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see that I am a brown person. You see this. I need you to understand. I need you to understand what it's like to be me. I need you to understand that when I walk into a grocery store, I get followed, or that I get audited if I do self-checkout, or driving down the street in a neighborhood, in an affluent neighborhood, in a nice car, I get followed. I need you to have that conversation. I need you to understand that by addressing the fact that you have privilege, it's not taking anything away from you. It's just you saying, I have that privilege. I need to use that privilege to boost up the people that don't have the privilege. I need you to speak out for all injustices, not just because you saw it on video. If you are walking around the store and you notice that someone is being followed for no reason, say something. If you know that a child is being treated differently because of the way that they look, you say something. That's the issue. We need people to have that uncomfortable conversation. Race is a real thing. Hatred is a real thing. There's bias because of skin color. We need to have those conversations. Stop being afraid. Stop. Yeah. I'm tired. Like for me, like I grew up like you did. So I was the kid that they said, hey, you know, watch your stuff. I grew up in the projects, but I went to a Catholic school. And I was lucky enough to go to that Catholic school because of my mom. And I was treated differently at the school because I was the black kid in the class. And then I was treated differently in my neighborhood because I was the black kid that went to the white school. But to be on the soccer team and hear the coach say, make sure you lock up all your stuff because we're going to that part of Springfield. What do you mean? There's that assumption that black and brown and indigenous people are criminals and that we're thieves. We're not. We are regular people just like you are. Embrace it. Understand it. Educate yourself. And I, as a black woman, I'm a mixed kid. I shouldn't have to teach you. You can ask questions, but people need to do the research themselves. That's it. Just stop. Just please.
Yeah.
It has to stop.
Stop the denial. And yeah, the next person that tries to pass themselves off as an ally, quote unquote, in any conversation, but then doesn't take an actively aggressive stance against that which they see is blatantly injustice. You know, to me, you're just perpetuating the problem, and I'll have no problem bringing that up to anyone who is in that spot. Right. You know, I wonder, where's the governor? I mean, what's going on? Where is the governor, you know, right now? Why isn't there a statement out already condemning this? I mean, unless she's put it out in the last few minutes, we need top down, you know, you want to talk about giving the state a scolding. Here's the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the opportunity to step up and say, folks, you know, talk about knock it off. You know what I mean? This is it. You know what I mean? More so than the COVID crisis. This is bigger than that. This is, you know, way, way bigger than that. And I just can't wrap my head around, you know, how we've gotten to a point where the fact that there, again, I'll keep going back to this, the fact there are people who would deny, you know, and though, you know, we're Rhode Island, yeah, we're blue, we're this, we're that, right, where everyone's so nice. People have, everyone sees each other. We're all one family. Get the hell out of here. This crisis has proven, and the incident you experienced and many others have proven that's a lie, and right, it's shameful to perpetuate that myth.
Yeah. Like even what's happening in Central Falls and, you know, everything that's happening with people being rushed back to work who aren't ready. They are people that don't understand that in certain communities, it's hard. You know, you have families, you have kids, and you're afraid to go out there and do those things. But those are the same people that have to deal with the BS on the daily because they look differently. Their lives are not seen as important because they look different. But we are just as important as everyone else. And that's what we need to educate people. Like, stop treating people differently. Enough is enough. And it's not just the president. This started a long time ago. This has been a battle for over 400 years. The only difference now is the people have the means to really get to you because they have the computer access. They, you know, the internet is ridiculous. And they use that. You can hide behind a keyboard. You can do that. But I want to have that conversation with you face to face. If you're going to sit there and call me names and you're going to say get lynched, that word is what got me.
Yeah.
Say it to my face. And I want to discuss why you said that to me. If you don't like me because of the fact that I support Medicare for all, or I believe people should be able to live on a, what we call a livable wage, or that I believe that we need a Green New Deal, that's fine. We can discuss that. But that's policy, not personal. That's like, I just don't understand why you couldn't attack me because of my policy. Why bring it to those words?
Yeah. And it also, there's this, again, this notion that somehow, you know, you're a snowflake or something like that. Yeah. If you are sensitive to these sorts of issues, and, you know, those folks out there, you know, that, you know, you've got people who are perpetuating dog whistle type racism, like the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, you know, and Justin Katz and these types of people who somehow they get media coverage on mainstream media stations, television stations, you know, with their outrageous proposals, like we're going to lower the minimum wage to bring people back to work. You know, the 6 o'clock news should lead off every night with the types of experiences that you're going through or that you went through, and highlighting that, and it should be drilled into people's heads. It's not social justice warrior type behavior. It's just, you know, it's just leveling
every day.
It's just every day leveling the playing field, you know?
Like I ran the first time and I was telling people, I was knocking doors and I was told, you know, I didn't belong here. You don't belong here. And I would have to tell people, you know, that house in the corner, that's my house. Like this, I sent you a letter. Or one woman came to the door and said, oh, I almost called the police on you because you just didn't look like you belonged in this neighborhood. And this is the stuff that I have to hear, to be called other, to be told I'm a virus, to say that I don't belong. This is the stuff that it's my everyday. This is what it's like to run for office as a woman and as a Black woman. Because I am seen as less than. I'm always going to be seen as less than. And I need this conversation to be had. I need more of these conversations to be had. I need people to understand it's hard as hell. It really is. From people sitting in the woods, from me having to file complaints with the police department because of what just happened, that should not occur on a daily basis. It shouldn't occur at all. We have people like Cori Bush who's running out in Ferguson, where she was being followed and she had to sit there and she had to tweet out that if something happened to her, that she did not kill herself. Her car was rammed multiple times, all because she was running for office. And this stuff happens not just to me. This has happened to so many different politicians, but so many different Black politicians, Black female politicians. And I hate using that word politician. I'm just someone that is, I'm sick of the BS. I'm sick of someone not fighting for me. And that's all I'm doing. I'm fighting for the regular person. And I don't care if you're Black, brown, whatever. I am fighting for the person like me, the people that don't get listened to, the families that live paycheck to paycheck. My husband's a veteran. He's a retired police officer. I'm fighting for everyone. I'm not fighting for just one particular group. I'm fighting for everyone. So why can't you just accept that and understand it?
I feel like, you know, I'm, this is the last thing I'll say, and I want to let you wrap it on your terms, but, you know, I would just think that people would recognize that the world would be so much more robust and rewarding if we could get past these fundamental breakdowns. And look, you know, the level of poverty around the world, you know, go in my own eyes in South America, for example, I've seen things that I've gone, holy shit, that is way past where I thought that humanity could ever get to in terms of the depth of inequity, you know. But we're never going to be able to address those big problems if we can't hear in quote unquote advanced civilization address the similarly massive problem that leads to what you went through. And again, I want to give you the last word, but I just want to reiterate that before any of this, I've admired you greatly. And you know, I've heard a particular appearance of yours on a talk radio show. And you know, I felt like you weren't given a fair shake during that particular interview, that I'm thinking back now, like 6-7 months. And ever since then, I was like, all right, she's got what it takes in my mind to go all the way, because, you know, you didn't seem to let that phase you. And policy, you know, opponents in the political realm, they don't seem to phase you. This seemed to phase you, as it should. And again, you have a tremendous amount of courage just for coming out and addressing this. And I hope that people, we need courageous leaders. We need people who have courage. Yeah. This is the job. This is the role that leadership, the number one quality that someone in any kind of leadership, never mind political leadership, should embrace is courage and critical thinking. And you've exemplified that in this incident alone. And I'll hand you the floor, take as much time as you'd like to wrap it. But I just want to let you know that if I haven't made it clear, I admire you greatly.
I appreciate you so much, Bill. I really do. I guess to everyone that's listening, I'm going to give you a few things. One, speak to your friends. Have that conversation about race. It may make you uncomfortable, but it needs to happen. Two, if you feel as though you need to have a conversation with me about who I am, or if you want to attack me for who I am, please don't attack me for my policy, because personally, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've been through. All you see is the fact that my skin is darker than yours. And three, understand that I'm not fighting for these big corporations. I'm fighting for the regular person. I know people aren't happy with the tax policy that I put out, because everyone believes that they are more than what they are. You are not in the top 1% unless you make more than $467,000. I'm not taxing you. I'm just taxing the people that should be paying their fair share. The people that since 2006 have not paid over $1 billion in taxes, but you have. I am just like you are. I am a mother. I have 4 wonderful children. I am a wife to a wonderful man. I am a daughter. I am a sister. I am just a voice for you, for your neighbor, for your children, for your mother. That's it. If you want to come and attack me on my policies, but not on my race. Enough is enough. It's got to stop. So I thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to speaking again down the line, hopefully, you know, because I'd love to talk to you about tax policy and your ideas and other folks' ideas and what the middle ground looks like and how do we get to certain numbers and so on and so forth. And that's as a nerd, that's what I want to be talking about. Like, how can we save the state from, you know, the frankly bits of corruption or at least negligence that have led to being in the economic situation we are in. But here we are discussing baseline moronic behavior by people that hasn't been properly addressed. So again, thank you for your courage.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is the Bartholomew Town podcast.